thanks, Brother Lucas. I'm Brother Michael Bannock from Fulton, Missouri. May all the grace of Yahshua be yours. I'm originally from Chicago. Nobody's perfect, okay? I'm going to give a presentation about prison ministry. I was invited to talk at the National Unity Conference 3 weeks ago, but I was called away by a family emergency, and so I didn't get to present there what I'm going to tell you now. So Brother Brett, the pastor here, he's invited me to lay those words out there, and perhaps somebody here or somebody in the outreach will hear these words and respond to them. I'm going to introduce myself a little bit. I'll put some evangelical material in there because no matter when I speak or where I speak as of late, I always try to include something evangelical or edifying. I was born in Chicago, raised by Catholic parents. There was a divorce in there. And in my young formative years, I started to come under some Protestant influence. When I went deeper into the scriptures, I found myself protesting the Protestants. So I was like protesting the Catholic Church and the Protestants. And I ultimately wound up in this Hebrew root stuff because of its authenticity. Now, in a spirit of openness, I did spend some time in the occult and in mysticism in my teenage years. I wouldn't want to talk it up too much except to say it was a waste of time. In that realm, if any of you out there are monkeying around with mysticism, spiritism, ESP, the occult, stuff like that, it's the enemy's kingdom, and you don't want to go there. One perception I had in that time was that I had a hard time figuring out who the boss was, and I want to know who the boss is, so I returned to my biblical roots and pursued that. Hallelujah, I came into the Sacred Name Fellowship. Yahweh's name is authentic, it is universal, and it is self-authenticating. One of the great areas of inquiry in our culture right now is whether there is a supreme being. And in Yahweh's name, he's saying, when he talks about himself, he says, I am, Ehyeh. But we are told to call him Yahweh, which means he is, or he lives, or he will be. He exists. And that self-authenticating name is universal. No matter where you are in the world, no matter where you're starting from, the fact that he exists is your starting point. I was baptized into Yahshua's name in 1980 at the Feast of Trumpets down in Bogachita, Mississippi in the Bogachita River. So those are my credentials for what they're worth. I'll be talking about prison business in a moment. Let me give you a couple of evangelical things I like talking about. What happens is when you cross my path, I'll start talking up the things I'm working on, the things I'm studying, the things I'm meditating on. And those two questions I'd like you to take with you. Yeah, I would recommend you put these two questions on your refrigerator. Number one, if you were wrong about something, who would you believe to tell you? In our outreach, we presume that you want to hear something challenging, something different, something truthful. But if you're wrong, who would you believe to who would you trust to tell you if you're wrong about something? I've been struggling with that a long time. I've decided myself that I would always be open to anybody's input. And I invite anybody who wants to approach me. And I've been this way for several years. But I'm convinced that for the unity and the reform we need, we're going to have to develop an attitude of being open to correction, no matter who we are and what our status is. One thing I can tell you, as far as trusting those who have authority over us and correct us, the scriptures say to obey them that have rule over us, for they watch over our souls. As a starting point, I urge upon anybody, in the voice, sound of my voice, anybody I bump into, obey those who have authority over you. I'll give you some examples of what I'm talking about. In the American spirit, we have embedded in our culture this attitude that we're going to be the lone wolf, the rebel, we're going to be coloring outside the lines and all that. But we, to a certain extent, have a hard time obeying authority. When Yahshua walked the earth, he said that the greatest example of faith he found in all of Israel, think about that, all of Israel, that goes back a long way. All of Israel, the greatest example of faith was a pagan soldier who understood authority. And at a minimum, you should start with those who have known authority in your life. A survey was once done of teenagers, teenage Christians, about who they would look to for advice in their life. They put down all these people who they turned to for advice and insight and spiritual counsel. Friends, maybe the pastor. They pray about it, cast fleeces and signs and stuff like that, which I don't recommend. But nobody mentioned their parents. You know, you should be obeying your parents unless they tell you to do evil. If it's a mere matter of taste, you should defer to those who have authority over you. Another area, you can check this kind of thing on the internet if you want. I have beheld times when music ministers have been at odds. Musicians have been at odds in a congregational setting. I did some research on the internet, and I found that arguments among church musicians is extremely common. There was one church out there, they had so many fights among the musicians, they were going to rename the music department. They were going to call it the war department. It was so bad. Instead of deferring to the music leader, you know, to the chief musician, instead of deferring to the music leader, people get huffy and proud. No, my guitar's got to be turned up. No, my organ's got to be turned up. And the lead musician is the one who sets the pace. There are many areas of our life where we have people who have right authority over us. And here we are reading from 1 Samuel. You know, the same guy who was called in this passage was later told by the same prophet who anointed him, told him, rebellion is the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity. Unless those who are in authority over you tell you to do evil, you've got to obey them. If you are wrong about something, who would you trust to tell you? Well, you can start with those people who have right authority over your lives and get yourself lined up with that. How fast do you drive? I heard one guy say his guardian angels can only go the speed limit. What about you? What risks are you taking? What are you coloring outside the lines? Once we get the stuff we understand in place, we'll be able to better hear Yahweh's word on some of the more difficult stuff. The second question is this. This is the big one now. This is the million-dollar question. This one's really gobsmacked me. This is going to be a sack of potatoes in your face now. You better get ready. You better get ready. This is the big one. Suppose, you know, there's a lot of talk out there about life purpose, right? Suppose your top priority in your life, top priority, more important than anything, is to never sin again. From this second forward, no more sin. Zero sin. No sin. Zero. No sin. What would you change in your life to make that happen? Now, we know this was Yahshua's greatest priority because every morning he woke up, he knew that if he blew it, the whole project would be ended. And we're supposed to walk as he walks. And I've wondered about this the last year or two. What would change in your life? Now, you guys didn't know I was going to mention this when we were having our Bible study earlier, but Brother Lucas brought up this issue of friends. Well, our friends at Alcoholics Anonymous have a phrase that touches upon this. They call it people, places, and things. Are the people, places, and things in your life that are going to have to change so that you don't sin? Maybe you've taken on too much. You have temptations to cut corners. This is the million-dollar question. I urge you to put that on your refrigerator, right along with the first question. If I'm wrong, who would I believe to tell me? And number two, what has to change in my life to make it so that I never sin? Well, I feel refreshed and encouraged having stumbled upon this, and I urge you guys to think about it too. Let's talk about prison ministry. The official title of the message was supposed to be a presentation at the Unity Conference, and it was entitled The Sheep and Goats of Missouri. Through a complicated series of events, I wound up in prison ministry. It isn't like I went looking for this. It isn't like I sought this out. I remember back when I lived in Pennsylvania in the 1980s, I was crying out to Yahweh, you know, vocally. Show me your will. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to work on? And the phone rang right there, interrupting my prayers. And it was some guy in jail. And he dialed my phone number by accident. So I engaged him for a while. I helped get a job for him when he was scheduled to get out of jail. And we parted ways. Looks like he had some growing up to do. He was certainly not ready for the faith as we know it. There are two other cases where I got mixed up with people I knew who happened to be in prison, people in the faith. Let's say this, the grown man was in the faith, he wound up in prison, and then his son wound up in prison, a different prison. And I learned a few things about that place. I visited them. I don't have much to say about it. The first guy was in the faith, but he was a man with a lot of problems. This goes back decades now. I'm not going to tell you what his crime was, but he found out that I found out his crime. I was the only guy visiting him. His public defender told me his crime. She just blurted it out. I didn't ask for it. But when he found out that I found out the crime, he said he was going to kill me when he got out. He was so ashamed and angry that someone knew the hideous thing he had done. And he became Muslim. While he was in the prison, he became Muslim. It was up there, in Dixon, Illinois. The town begins with the letter D. He became a Muslim. I found out that if you say to a Muslim, wassalamu alaikum, you give them the greeting. In Hebrew, we say shalom aleikum. But you say the Arabic greeting to them, they have to give you food, clothing, and shelter for 3 days. And I always thought, if that guy gets out of jail and comes looking for me to kill me, and he comes to my door, I'll say, wassalamu alaikum. Then I got 3 days to figure out how to escape. But I'm not going to come up here and say I know a lot about prison ministry. But what happened is we have a beloved elder down the road at another congregation, and he had gained a chair at the state level advisory board. There's a chaplain who oversees all the chaplains in the state of Missouri, and he has representatives from a lot of denominations there. And there's a lot of representatives there. You would never meet them unless you wound up in a place like that. They have a representative for Islam. They have a representative for Messianic Judaism, but they have Judaism. They have a Catholic priest, Wicca, Native American spirituality, a few other things. And when that elder had to retire because he was slipping, he was getting kind of old, word got around the network and they asked me to step in. And I assumed I was just going to take over everything he did. And it's a lot harder than I thought. But one thing for which we take a lot of pleasure is the drive for matzos every spring. To make sure they have matzos for the days of unleavened bread. And we're in triple digits now for how many packets of matzos we get. And I arrange for them to be dropped off in Jeff City, and then they're distributed statewide. But there's more. There's one really active group in St. Louis at the correctional center there. And these guys, it's kind of encouraging when you get to visit them. A lot of them are really dedicated to the word. Let's talk about the sheep and goats. I don't even think I'm going to make you turn there. You can go there if you want. But I discovered something in the story of the sheep and goats that amplifies the message for us. Yahshua says the nations will be before him. The nations will be before the Son of Man. Check it out. That's not you and it's not me. It's the nations. He's telling us how he's going to judge the nations. Now, what I'm going to tell you is kind of a secret thing. You like secrets? You want the inside game? What you're going to hear is a secret thing. If you think about it, that cannot be about us. If you recall, the goats say to him, when did we see you sick and afflicted and in prison and hungry and all that? And he says, you didn't do it to the least of my brethren. You failed to do it to me. The reason I know this forward-looking prophecy about the day of reckoning is not about us is because we would not be surprised. We're already informed. We would never say, when did I see you in trouble? And we wouldn't say that. We already know about it. It's the nations who will be surprised. Now, here's how this works. As we go about our affairs in the ordinary world, Yahweh will put grace upon strangers, people who are outside the covenant. He'll give us favor in their eyes, and he'll give them the grace to give us what we need. I've experienced this, and other saints have too, where they receive unexpected favor in the eyes of strangers, people who are not in the covenant. Sometimes they're far from Yahweh's will. But bang, they cut us a break. And you wonder, how did that happen? What was that all about? And they may be deeply offensive people otherwise, but in this narrow slice of time, their personalities change and they, bang, they show us kindness. And there's a pathway by which a lot of people are going to find an eternal reward. Remember, Abraham was promised, through your seed, all the people of the old world will be blessed. And it's one of many mechanisms by which Yahshua will throw people into the kingdom, just because they showed us kindness. And I know it's hard to believe, but that's why it's a kind of a secret thing. You can't go to a stranger and say, hey, listen, you help me out, I'll get you in the kingdom. Can't say that. You can't leverage that. Okay, that would be gaming the system. Well, there's going to be plenty who say, who are told, you helped me, you were good to me. Let's look at that, and they will not lose their reward. Yahshua promises that. But let's look at a profile of who some of these people are. These people who are receiving the help. Yahshua is describing his people. And you look at them, they don't look too good, do they? Hungry, naked, kicked out, wandering, in jail, sick. That doesn't look like People magazine to me. Yahshua is identifying with the least of his brethren. If he's going to judge the world like that, it means you and I have to rise even higher. You and I actually have to exceed that. Because he's expecting that of people who are not even saved. So my appeal is, wherever you are, if you're, no matter where you are in the country or the world, take a fresh look at that sheep and goats thing and ask yourself if you're doing enough. Because he's judging people not even in the covenant. The nations will be judged by those criteria. And that means we're going to be judged even more. I know what it is to cry out to heaven and say, what do you want me to do? Use me as an instrument of your will. What's your will for me? And all that. I know what that is. I know what that's like. And then I know what it is to rise up off my knees and contemplate some serious and difficult task he has laid before me. If you are thinking of doing something in support of Yah's kingdom, you're wondering what he wants you to do, give serious thought to participating in those things. I'm here to underscore the prison stuff. It is ugly. It's an ugly world. My desire would be that we had a consortium of people who got together on Zoom meetings regularly and got on teleconferences and started to collect stories. Even if we start out small, you should never regret the day of small things. Don't ever regret the day of small things. I'm telling you, when they get big, it's harder to manage. It's so hard to manage something big. And if any of you are in the state of Missouri, you should contact the ministry here and they'll put you in touch with me. I have no desire to like manage some big empire in the prisons, but I would like us to be coordinated, because you can have a wasteful duplication of effort if you're not careful, and we've discovered this. Some people in prison, they'll work all the angles and they'll make multiple requests to multiple groups where others are still waiting for help. If you're in the state of Missouri, by all means think about it. If you're going to be working with me, I'd recommend that you commit to either 1 year to 3 years. You can't accomplish much if you're doing anything less than a year, and 3 years seems like a reasonable break point. Remember, every 3 years was the tithing year, so 3 years seems like a reasonable terminus for that. I don't believe in agreements in perpetuity except marriage and salvation, so that's why I think most agreements should have a limit on them. If you're not in Missouri, go find somebody you can work with. It starts out simple. You can get on a visitor's list or work with a ministry that's already up and running. If you take a look at that sheep and goats thing and you look at the people with the needs there, if you can't think of anything to get in the game, you should think harder. Now, that's all I have to say about that. May Yahweh bless you with grace and empower you for the tasks he has before you. Please give some thought to these guys in prison. I'm going to tell you where this goes. Out of a handful of people you'll help, there might be one who really needed it. And that's kind of like the sower in his seed. But I'm worried about that one guy. I'm worried about that one sheep. I would say I'd spent a substantive fraction of my life in the wilderness and far from fellowship, and I have a special place in my heart for those who are far from the lifeline. And we want to bring spiritual resources to them. Well, that's about all I had to say about that. Brother Lucas, you can come back and take over again. May all the grace of Yahshua be with you. Hallelujah.